here? It's something every one of us should want to know, no matter where we stand on the vaccine debate. Shockingly, our national health agencies have never tried to find out. Sure, we all know that vaccines trigger our immune systems to produce antibodies and suppress symptoms of short-term, often mild diseases, and they may or may not prevent infection or transmission of illness to others. But do they make us healthier in the long run? That's the question three groundbreaking studies published in 2020 set out to answer. Each team, independently and using three different methods, identified and measured the real risks of vaccines by comparing the overall health of vaccinated and unvaccinated populations. And the results were jaw-dropping. All three teams knew the only way to determine whether vaccines make us healthier was to study the differences in overall health between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Research the government admits it's never done. The facts are clear. The overwhelming majority of Americans, some 329 million, are vaccinated. And we hear their stories every day on TV, from our doctors, and from our tribes. And we see their stories reflected in our national health statistics, with their disturbing upward trends in chronic illness, autoimmune disease, and neurological and developmental disorders. But we never hear the story of that tiny 0.25% minority who've never been vaccinated. And we need to, because they're the only ones who can truly show us the answer to our question. Do vaccines make us healthier? We need to hear them, because this small fraction of our society is often feared and, ironically, blamed for all the ills of the supposedly protected vaccinated masses. This minority is long overdue for a fair hearing of their side of the story. And as you'll see, the facts paint a compelling picture. The first study, by scientists Brian Hooker, PhD, and Neil Miller, analyzed health data from three U.S. medical practices. They compared the odds ratios for selected health outcomes in children born between 2005 and 2015. The study looked at the differences in rates of illness in those who were vaccinated during their first year of life and those who weren't, and they analyzed the medical records of 2,047 children ages 3 to 12. For all diagnoses with significant data, they found that children who were not vaccinated in that crucial first year had a much lower rate of illnesses than those who were. The team discovered that by age 5, children who'd been vaccinated in their first 12 months were twice as likely to have developmental delays, nearly 3 times as likely to have gastrointestinal disorders, 50% more likely to have ear infections, and 273% more likely to have asthma than unvaccinated children in that same age group. This study was meticulously constructed and peer-reviewed, and the results are significant. Still, the authors prudently note that further study is necessary to understand the full spectrum of health effects associated with childhood vaccination. Indeed, science never rests, and it's certainly never settled, so we continue to seek further enlightenment and, ideally, corroboration. The second peer-reviewed study by scientist James Lyons Weiler, PhD, and pediatrician Paul Thomas, MD, took a different approach to the subject. This study compared the number of office visits in the vaccinated and unvaccinated children. Like the previous study, this one also found that for every tracked diagnosis, the vaccinated children experienced far more illness and dysfunction than the vaccine-free. In the report's charts, the vertical scale on the left represents the number of office visits for the diagnosis. The horizontal scale at the bottom represents the number of days of life for the children, shown in 500-day increments. A second scale shows age in years. For example, the rate of office visits for asthma was roughly the same in both groups for the first year of life. But while the vaccine-free children showed very little increase in office visits throughout the next 8 years, the vaccinated children continued to require increasing number of asthma-related exams and treatments. Following similar patterns, other autoimmune issues like allergic rhinitis or hay fever, eczema, dermatitis, and urticaria required far more office visits for the vaccinated children. Respiratory infections and breathing issues all prompted significantly more office visits for the vaccinated. Now keep in mind, that many of the respiratory and other infections that affected both groups of children would include infections that vaccinated groups theoretically should have been protected from. Ear and eye issues were also far more common in the vaccinated, and anemia-related visits spiked in the vaccinated children at 9 months of age when routine screenings are conducted. Visits for behavioral issues climbed steadily from birth, and ADHD visits revealed dramatic differences between the two groups. Since ADHD is rarely diagnosed in very young children, it prompted few visits in the first 4 years. However, at about age 4, ADHD began to surge in the vaccinated group and continued to increase through the end of the study. By comparison, the vaccine-free children, surprisingly, had no ADHD. Perhaps most telling, the research team was unable to chart autism rates at all because they were so low among Dr. Thomas's patients. In fact, his practice had less than half the national rate of autism. Now keep in mind that Dr. Thomas's practice honors the principle of informed consent. As a result of the parents' informed and free choice, few, if any, of his patients are fully vaccinated precisely according to the CDC schedule. If a child has a negative reaction to a vaccine, or if there's a family history of reactions, sensitivities, or genetic predispositions, parents often elect to skip certain vaccines or all vaccines entirely. These policies suggest that the differences between the two groups might even be more pronounced if a never vaccinated group were compared to children who were fully vaccinated according to the CDC schedule. Given the family influences on children, Dr. Thomas acknowledges that lifestyle differences between the vaccinated and unvaccinated groups in this practice cannot explain the large difference in outcomes, and if they do, then it would be objective to conclude that everyone should adopt the lifestyle followed by the unvaccinated if they want healthier children. The third study was a national health survey that focused on the medical diagnoses of never vaccinated people of all ages. Now, the control group's team set out to actually measure the frequency of illness, or lack thereof, by conducting health surveys of 1,482 never vaccinated adults and children. It was an exceptionally reliable, statistically powerful 0.178% sampling of the estimated 832,000 vaccine-free Americans. And then, they compared the incidence of health outcomes in the vaccine-free control subjects against those of the vaccinated majority, based on publicly available national health statistics. And just like the previous two studies, the control group survey found that those who live vaccine-free lives were far healthier overall. The charts based on their results tell a shocking tale that cannot be explained by mere coincidence. Let's start with the big picture. The first overall chart shows that, as of 2010, at least 27% of America's vaccinated children had chronic health conditions. Now that's 10 to 20 million kids and families dealing every day with issues like allergies, asthma, rashes, ADHD, autism, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, cystic fibrosis, diabetes, or even cancer. And sadly, the rate of chronic illness today is more than 50% in children. And for adults, it's even higher. Vaccinated children are over 3.5 times more likely to have at least one chronic illness, and they're 5.7 times more likely to have multiple chronic illnesses. That represents more family disruption, more medication and doctor visits, more expenses, and more risk from complications of infectious diseases like COVID-19. For our adult population, with their cumulative exposure to vaccinations over a lifetime, the situation is even more disturbing. National statistics show that vaccinated adults are 9.5 times more likely to have chronic conditions, including asthma and arthritis, plus some of the leading causes of death, such as diabetes, heart disease, respiratory illness, and cancer. These adults are 43 times more likely to have two chronic conditions, and 12% of them have five chronic illnesses. These are the people who we've heard about on the news who are at an increased risk of hospitalization and death from infectious diseases like COVID-19. Yet none among the vaccine-free population fall into this highest risk category. let's take a closer look at how these general health issues manifest in specific illnesses. As you can see, vaccinated children are many times more likely to suffer from asthma, eczema, food allergies, ear fluid, and strabismus, or eye alignment issues. Vaccinated populations also have far more developmental and neurological issues, learning disabilities, speech disorders, epilepsy, autism, and ADHD. For example, ADHD is 19 times more common in vaccinated children. Significantly, no vaccine-free babies in surveyed families had died from sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS, and no vaccine-free children had cancer. Vaccinated people in general had 44 times more digestive disorders and a whopping 207 times more chronic sinusitis, or sinus infections. Perhaps most astounding is the range of illnesses the vaccine-free subjects just didn't have. The vaccine-free had no adult ADHD or asthma, no arthritis, no diabetes, no heart disease, and no cancer. To bring this message home, the control group statistical analysis of national health data shows a very high correlation between the increases in vaccination since 1994 and increases in children's health problems. In fact, expert statistician Jan Willem Vandenberg has concluded that the survey results are staggering, and the evidence presents a probability near 100% that vaccines are indeed responsible for the increases in chronic illness among vaccinated children compared to those who've never received any kind of vaccine product. These are not coincidences, and that's why, beginning in 2021, the control group is taking their case to federal court to seek legal protections for the vaccine-free minority, as well as for those who would prefer not to vaccinate. Their primary goal is to bring their striking litigation survey results to the public and to our authorities to stop the misleading and dangerous practice of calling vaccines safe and to ensure that all vaccination is voluntary, especially given that the government cannot quantifiably prove the benefits of vaccines outweigh the risks. Look, any study can and should be challenged, and that's what real science is all about. And while we may be inclined to take one, perhaps even two studies with a grain of salt, when three independent investigations approaching the same question from three different perspectives using different subjects all tell the same story, well, it's worth taking a closer look and conducting well-funded and comprehensive studies. But 2020 wasn't the first time a study looked at vaccinated and unvaccinated health outcomes. The 2017 Mawson survey of nearly 670 homeschooled children revealed the same pattern of increased illness and dysfunction in the vaccinated children versus the unvaccinated. How long will we continue to ignore the elephant in the room before we demand that our public health agencies officially compare overall health outcomes in vaccinated and unvaccinated people, as these independent research teams have done? And when will we overhaul our public health policies accordingly to stop the epidemic of chronic illness and disability that's decimating our population and eroding our nation's productivity? So, what does all this data mean? At its simplest, it suggests that vaccines actually lead to sicker lives overall. In fact, it's the unvaccinated people whose lives are typically blessed with superb health and few doctor visits. I mean, think about that for a moment. Then ask yourself, which life do I want to live? Which life do I want for my family? To learn more, see the links below.